Good morning, Ken. It's a coolish May day here in Wivy, and I guess very different to the kind of temperatures that you've got in Australia.
Hi, John. Great to chat again.
Can you tell us, Ken, about the acclimatisation period that you've had in Northern Australia? I mean, was this as you'd planned, and how has it helped this year so far for you?
I'll always remember emerging from the plane late one night in Northern Australia, hit immediately by the oppressive humidity. Took a while, a good month or so, to get used to it, which is rather more than I'd expected. At first I was thinking, why exactly would anyone ever want to live here? But then it clicked. It's still a tough environment, not just the heat and humidity, but also nature's other challenges, cyclones, flooding, crocodiles, outbreaks of dengue fever, to keep you on your toes. But actually very rewarding, satisfying when you win through, mastering whatever's thrown at you, and there has been quite a bit of that. Of course, the process of adjustment to your surroundings never really ends. It's getting cooler now as I head south, starting to use the sleeping bag. All good preparation for a southern Australian winter, and Alaska, of course, in a couple of months.
Well, yes, I guess Alaska will be very much cooler than where you are now. But thinking still about Australia, there's been a lot on the blog about your experience with crocodiles since you've been there. Can you tell us something about this? Have you had any scary brushes with them, for example?
No scary brushes, fortunately, but I have been able to get up pretty close to a few from the safety of a boat. And whilst I'm intrigued by koalas and possums and kangaroos, there's just something about crocodiles. Evolutionary masterpieces do exactly what they say on the tin. Never claimed to be man's best friend and been around long before the human race and will probably still be here when we've all gone. Crocodiles aside though, there have been a few near misses on the highway with wallabies, small kangaroos, bounding out in front, quite oblivious to your presence.
Oh, that's right, yes. There was something on a recent blog report, I remember, about the wallabies on the highways. But thinking back to Cairns again, I mean, apart from the preparation for Cyclone Yasi and also the fairly huge big clear-up operation afterwards, how did you spend your time in Cairns?
Mostly just getting used to the climate, the oppressive humidity during Australia's summer months and our winter, as well as a little relaxation after all the challenges of China.
Yeah, all very different to China, I can well imagine, but I gather you've become quite a star of Aussie TV and radio. Can you give us some more details about this, Ken?
Not so sure about star, but I have done a couple of pieces for local TV, appeared on talk radio, as well as several newspaper interviews, and even met Anna Bligh, Queensland's Premier, in the process. All great fun, new experiences, and always unscripted, which adds to the excitement, helps keep the mind sharp. But never quite the same as our monthly chats. Something I always look forward to on the road.
Yes, and I've really enjoyed some of the photos and the little stories that you've had about the characters, I know in a number of cases, British cyclists that you've met on the road. In terms of the cycling, how are you finding it now? Have you had much of a problem with the high level of rainfall, for example, that's been reported in northeast Australia?
I'm very much settled into a routine of about 50 miles a day, steady progress south, whilst leaving me time to chat to people I meet along the way, take photographs, rather than simply just stare at tarmac. It's much drier now and getting a bit cooler, an English summer perhaps. But further north, definitely on the receiving end of what I'm told has been the wettest wet season for a decade or two. Something like 20 feet of rainfall in a matter of just a few months.
Well, I think we could do with some of your rainfall over here at the moment, Ken. It's very dry around Wivy. Tell us a little bit about the kind of landscape that you're cycling through now.
I'm now south of the wet tropics, so no more rainforest. Instead, endless cane sugar plantations and open savannah, fairly flat for the most part, although that does leave you open to some tough headwinds coming up from the south. But a change shortly, I hope, off to ride through the Glasshouse Mountains on the edge of Brisbane, Queensland's capital.
Okay, so while you're trailing down the east coast, are you beginning to make plans for the next stage of your trip after Australia yet?
If you want to avoid dramas, expensive last-minute airfares or visas, you do need to keep an eye on the next country or two, or in this case, continent, North America. Much of it is logistics, getting there, getting in, having the right maps and kit. Some you can acquire locally or other stuff better, sometimes cheaper, coming from the UK. All about getting the building blocks in place. Helps huge, of course, if you've a good logistics coordinator, which I have, my mum. And my dad's also a bit of a whiz with cheap airline deals, which also helps a lot.
well, I guess you're very lucky to have folks who are as supportive as they obviously are for this fantastic trip of yours. I gather from the website also that since you've been in Australia, you've been beginning to devote more energy to the fundraising aspect of the trip. How's this coming along now?
Alas, the miles have flowed by far quicker than donations to the Outward Bound Trust. So, to help encourage people to make a gift to the charity, whatever they can afford, I have a couple of travelling companions for the Australia stage, Skippy the Kangaroo and Wallace the Wallaby. One to be awarded to whoever makes the largest donation during my time down under, and the other to whoever leaves the wittiest comment when making a gift, no matter how big or small it might be. For details, of course, on my website, www.acrosscontinents.org, where you can also make a donation safely and securely, and where, incidentally, you can catch up on my antics with the photos, the videos and the blog posts, and find out more about the Outward Bound Trust and its work with young people in the UK. There have already been some very generous donations, but, of course, still a long way to go to reach my fundraising target.
Well, good luck with the fundraising, Ken, and perhaps as a result of this interview, you'll get a few more donations via your website. Well, Ken, that's about all we've got time for, as ever. I'm afraid the time always goes very, very quickly when we're chatting. It's huge distances apart from us. Well, we're looking forward to having you back in the Wivy area in a few years' time, but obviously hope that your trip continues to go very well for you, and we'll stay in touch for the next few weeks on email, but certainly look forward to speaking to you on Ten Radio in a few weeks' time. Many thanks. Take care, Ken. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, John, and looking forward to chatting again next month.